Please turn with me to the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 7 as we read the verses 1 through 8. Hear the word of God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "And you, son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, an end. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. Now the end has come upon you, and I will send my anger against you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all your abominations. My eye will not spare you, nor will I have pity. But I will repay your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." Thus says the Lord God, a disaster, a singular disaster. Behold, it has come. An end has come. The end has come. It has dawned for you. Behold, it has come. Doom has come to you, you who dwell in the land. The time has come. A day of trouble is near, and not of rejoicing in the mountains. Now upon you I will soon pour out my fury, and spend my anger upon you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all your abominations. This ends the reading of the holy and inspired word of God. The text for the sermon today is taken from this portion of God's word, Ezekiel chapter 7 and verse 6, where we read these words, "An end has come, the end has come, it has dawned for you, behold, it has come." May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word to our hearts. Dear friends, in a few days from now, the year 2025 will come to an end. The year 2025 will be no more, and the year 2026 will take its place. The ending of the year reminds us that one day everything will come to an end. Our lives will come to an end. This world will come to an end. And every passing year brings us closer to this end. Ezekiel also spoke of an end. Ezekiel prophesied sometime during the first three decades of the 6th century BC. This was a very dark period in the history of Judah. Some 100 years earlier, God allowed the Assyrians to take the 10 tribes of Israel into captivity as punishment for their persistent idolatry. And following this, God sent prophet after prophet, including Isaiah and Jeremiah, to warn the people of Judah that they would suffer the same fate if they did not repent. Sadly, however, the people of Judah did not listen. They continued to worship idols in violation of the covenant that God had made with them. Then in 597 BC, God had had enough. He sent Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to march on the city of Jerusalem. And after a terrible siege that lasted around 2 years, Nebuchadnezzar broke through the walls of the city and took the king and all of the leading men of Judah into captivity in Babylon, including the prophet Ezekiel. The exiles and many of those remaining in Jerusalem hoped that the exile would be short and that those who had been deported would soon be returned to the city, and that Jerusalem would be spared further disaster. After all, they reasoned, was Jerusalem not the holy city? Was this not the city that God chose? The city where God said he delighted to dwell? Had he not defended the city against the Assyrians in the days of Hezekiah? And was the temple not there? And did God not dwell in his temple? And were they not the covenant people of God? Had God not promised to be their God, to be with them, and to defend them against their enemies? But God, through the prophet Ezekiel, said no. the people of Judah would be taken into captivity. The city of Jerusalem and the temple would be completely destroyed. There would be an end. And to underscore this, Ezekiel writes in the words of our text, "An end has come. The end has come. It has dawned for you. Behold, it has come." With the help of the Lord, let's consider these words under the theme, the coming of the end. We'll consider, first of all, the absolute certainty of this coming, and secondly, the appropriate response to this coming. Ezekiel, in our text, warns the people of Judah that the Lord was coming in judgment. In fact, he does so no less than 5 times in the first 6 verses of this chapter. Twice in verse 2, once in verse 3, and twice in verse 6. 5 times Ezekiel warns the people of Judah that there would be an end. Now, this is nothing new. Ezekiel had told them this several times before. In chapter 4, God commanded Ezekiel to take a clay tablet and draw on it a picture of Jerusalem. When he was finished, he was to lay siege against it, build a siege wall against it, keep it up, set camps against it, and place battering rams against it all around. Then he was to take an iron plate and set it as an iron wall between him and the city. Following this, he was to lie on his left side and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. He was to lie on his left side for 390 days, each day representing the years of their iniquity. Then he was to lie on his right side for 40 days, each day representing 1 year. Then he was to take wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt, and put them in one vessel and make bread of them for himself. He was to do this for each of the 390 days that he was to lie on his left side. But he had to carefully measure each ingredient. It had to amount to no more than 20 shekels a day. He was also to ration his water intake, and he was to use human excrement as fuel to bake it. Now, in this way, God was teaching his people that the city of Jerusalem would surely come to an end. It would be besieged. And during this time, food and water and fuel would be extremely scarce. Slowly but surely, the people would waste away. Then in chapter 5, God commanded Ezekiel to take a sharp sword and to cut off his beard. 1/3 he was to burn in the city. 1/3 he was to cut up with the sword, and 1/3 he was to scatter to the wind. And this too was a picture of what would happen to the people of Judah. Finally, in chapter 6, God commanded Ezekiel to prophesy against the mountains of Israel. To the mountains, Ezekiel was to proclaim that the Lord was coming in judgment, and that when he did, the entire city of Jerusalem would be destroyed. Many of its inhabitants would die, and the rest would be taken into captivity. 3 times, in 3 different ways, Ezekiel warned the people of Judah that there would be an end. But here in our text, he takes this one step further. He affirms once again that there will be an end, but he adds that the end is near. In fact, it is upon them. He writes, "An end has come. The end has come. It has dawned for you. Behold, it has come." You notice Ezekiel does not say, "The end is coming," as if to suggest that the end is coming at some point in the future or even sometime soon, but rather he says, "It is come." It's like Ezekiel is saying, "The end is near. It is fast approaching. It's just around the corner." You'll notice too that Ezekiel uses the word dawned here. The end has dawned. Now that word can also be translated as awakened. The idea is that prior to this time, the end for Jerusalem and Judah had been slumbering. God had delayed the end for many years, but now the end had dawned, literally had been awakened. The end has woken up and will not be put to bed again. An end has come, he says. The end has come. It has dawned for you. Behold, it has come. Now it goes without saying this was not the most positive message. It certainly did not kindle much hope or expectation. But dear friends, not every message from the Word of God is positive. Not every message, and the same goes for sermons, not every sermon has as its goal to make us feel good about ourselves or to give us a spiritual boost so that we can get through the week, as sometimes people say. Sometimes the Word of God comes with warnings. Sometimes it strips and uncovers and makes us feel unsettled. And we need that. And such was the case here as well. Ezekiel pessimistically declares, the end has come. Dear friends, that same message comes to us today. The end is also upon us. Soon the world will come to an end. When that will happen, I don't know. Only God knows. Although when you consider what's going on in the world today, what's happening around us, it's almost certain that the end is coming soon. How much longer will God allow things to continue as they have been going before he breaks out in his wrath? But one thing we do know, the end will happen. One day the world and everything in it will come to an end. The psalmist speaks of this in Psalm 102, verses 25 and 26. There the psalmist declares, of old you have laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will change them, and they will be changed. The psalmist here compares the universe to a change of clothing. Just as a person takes off his old clothes and puts on his new clothes, so the Lord will change the entire universe. In an instant, the planets, the stars, the sun, the moon, and the earth itself will be cast off, and in its place will be a new heaven and a new earth. And just as easily as we take off our clothes and put on new clothes. Peter says something similar. 2 Peter 3, verse 10, Peter writes, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Here we learn that the universe, the earth, and everything in it will be burned up, leaving nothing left. The point is, the universe and this world, as we know it today, and everything in it will come to an end. And not only will the universe come to an end, so will we. One day we too will come to an end. We don't like to think about that. We like to think that we're going to live forever. But the Bible says, no, the end will come for all of us. And it may be sooner, or it may be later. It may be 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, or even 80 years from now. Or it may be today, or tomorrow, or the next day, or next week, or next month, or next year. We don't know. None of us knows the time of our end. But it's coming. One day our lives will come to an end. Why is that? It's because of sin. When God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden, he told him that he could freely eat of all the trees of the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day he ate of that tree, he would surely die. But what did Adam do? He didn't listen to God. Instead, he listened to the voice of the serpent. He partook of the tree, and in so doing, brought upon himself and all of his posterity the curse of death. Yes, because Adam sinned, we all must die. The Apostle Paul put it like this, the wages of sin is death. Yes, one day we will all come to an end. Do you realize that today? We have a tendency to think that we'll live forever. Death, we think, happens to other people, especially older people, but not to me, not yet. But that's not true. Anyone can die at any time, at any place, under any circumstances. The point is, there will be an end to the world and an end to us. And since that is so, how should we respond to this? Well, that brings us to our second point. The fact that all things will come to an end should have a profound impact on us. Let me mention seven ways that this reality should impact us. First of all, since all things will come to an end, we need to repent of our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And why is that? Because if we don't, we will suffer eternal torment in hell. And that, my friends, is more horrible than you and I can possibly imagine. The Bible describes hell as a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And it has no end. The world will come to an end. Our lives will come to an end. But the torments of hell will never end. It is a place where Isaiah says, the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. It is a place where the wrath of God abides forever, totally unmitigated by His love and mercy and grace. There is only one way to avoid this, and that is to repent of our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We must turn our back on sin, and we must look to the Lord Jesus and His atoning sacrifice on the cross as the only hope and ground of our salvation. Because apart from Christ, there is no salvation. Apart from Christ, we will surely perish. But in Christ, we will live to all eternity. So let me ask you today, have you done this? How many sermons have you not heard this past year? How many times have you not been warned to flee from the wrath to come? How many times have you not been urged to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? And how have you responded to these things? Have you repented? Have you believed? If you are not saved, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is yet near, before it is too late. Secondly, since all things will come to an end, we need to set our house in order. When King Hezekiah became sick, Isaiah told him to set his house in order, for he would die and not live. And that means, in the first place, getting ourselves right with God, as I have just said. It means repenting of sin and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But it means more than that. It means making sure you have an up-to-date will and that you have designated someone to care for your children in case both you and your spouse should suddenly die. It means making sure that you have clear instructions to your loved ones as to how you should be cared for at the end of your life, including what treatment options you should and should not receive. It means making arrangements for your funeral. This is all part of setting our house in order. And my friend, do not think you have plenty of time for this. Do not think you can do this when you are older. As we have seen, we have no guarantee that we will get older. The time to set our house in order is now. Thirdly, since all things will come to an end, we need to use our time wisely. The Bible says, redeem the time. How we need to pay attention to that verse. Redeem the time, because every moment of every day is precious. And yet how much time do we waste? in frivolous and meaningless conversation, entertainment, social media, texting, surfing the internet, if we added up the number of hours we waste over our lifetime, it would probably come close to the number of hours that we actually do something productive, let alone something that is spiritually beneficial and for the well-being of the church and of the kingdom of God. My friends, this ought not to be. If all things will come to an end, we need to learn to become good stewards of the time that the Lord has given to us, and to use this time for our spiritual well-being and the spiritual well-being of others, and ultimately the glory of God. Fourthly, since all things will come to an end, we need to pursue after holiness. It's significant that in the New Testament, the fact that all things will come to an end is often cited as a motive or a ground for holy living. For example, in 2 Peter 3, verse 11, Peter writes, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" And in 1 Peter 4, verses 7 and 8, the same apostle writes, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." What Peter is saying is that because all things will one day come to an end, we need to pursue after holiness. Why? Because when the end comes, we will all have to stand before the Lord and give an account of ourselves before Him. And if we're not pursuing after holiness, that's an indicator that we have never been truly converted to God, and we will be judged accordingly. And even if we were truly converted, our reward in heaven will not be as great. Oh, how diligent we should be then to pursue after holiness. Fifthly, since all things will come to an end, we need, as Jesus says, to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. We need to, as Jesus says, lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven rather than treasures on earth. And how quickly and easily we forget that. We spend so much time hankering after and accumulating material things, but when we die, we can't take any of it with us. And what is more, when the Lord returns, everything in this world, including all of our material possessions, will be burned up with fire. And so let us therefore not drive our tent pegs too deeply into this world. Rather, let us live as pilgrims and strangers on the earth. Sixthly, since all things will come to an end, we need to share the gospel with others. Every single human being on the face of the planet is heading towards an everlasting eternity. And the vast majority of them will spend an eternity in hell. And if you and I have any love at all for our neighbor, we will do whatever we can to reach them with the gospel of Christ, if only to save them from eternal torment in hell. I realize we can't all become full-time evangelists, but we do need to pray for and seize upon opportunities when they come our way. What a terrible thing it will be to see our neighbors and co-workers be cast into hell because we did not warn them and urge them to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine them looking at you with tears in their eyes as they're cast into hell, saying, "Why did you never tell me? Why did you never warn me?" Oh, let us therefore do what we can to share the gospel with others. Seventh, since all things will come to an end, let us who believe look forward to the life to come. Many professing Christians do not look forward to this as much as they should. And that's because, at least in the West, we have it so good here. We lack for nothing. But my friends, that should not be. The life to come is far superior to anything that this world has to offer. Because in the life to come, there is no more sorrow, there is no more pain, there is no more sickness, there is no more sin, and there is no more death. In the life to come, there is only joy and contentment, rest, victory, and pleasures forevermore. And what is more, we will enjoy perfect fellowship and communion with God in Christ and with one another forever and ever. There will be no end to it. What could be more wonderful than that? You see, how is all this possible? It's only because of Christ. By His atoning work, He has secured everlasting life for all who will believe on His name. And He offers this to us, again, even as we close out the year 2025. Oh, may God grant that if we have never believed in Him, that we may do so today before it is too late. There is an end. There's an end to all things. And a few days from now, the year 2025 will also end. What the future has in store, we do not know. Our times are in God's hands. But let us live every moment of every day, understanding that the time is short, the end is at hand, and may the Lord be pleased to go with us and bless us until He comes. Amen. Dear friends, it's our great joy and privilege to be able to preach to you the Word of God every Sunday on this station. If you were blessed by or have a comment on the message you have heard today, we would very much appreciate hearing from you. May I please ask you to write us a short note if you appreciate this ministry? It's very important for us to know if people are listening so that we can be wise in terms of how to allocate the resources that the Lord has given to us. Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. And when you write, please indicate the call letters of this station. Please note that we do not send out CDs of our radio messages. However, you can access and download all of our messages at any time from our website. You can find our website at www.banneroftruthradio.com. That's all one word, banneroftruthradio.com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. For more information about our churches, including where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. Your financial support for this program is welcome and deeply appreciated. If the Lord has placed in your heart a desire to help us to offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station, you can send us a check in any amount. Again, our mailing address is 3386 Mount Lehman Road, Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can visit the donation section of our webpage. Our webpage, again, is banneroftruthradio.com. Please remember that the Lord would have His people come together to worship Him. For that reason, we urge you not to use this or any other radio program as a substitute for being an active, contributing member of a faithful, Bible-believing church. Thank you for listening, and now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.